Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, 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 Georgia.
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Lee Flicker to get the night started. Downfield.
With the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stonewalled.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media, at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm. Jake, puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Jake, great to have you on. Happy Halloween, my friend. Another win for the Commanders. Jake Fromm on the Commanders, 2-0. A lot of heroics, dramatics in the fourth quarter yesterday. And we have so much to get to on this episode of Punt and Pass. Rounded up what happened in week 9. And of course, the news that has been breaking Sunday and earlier today. How are you, brother?
Hey, doing great. Had a fun time yesterday evening. Got a big win. In comeback fashion. That was awesome. Dogs win big. Excited for the episode, man. Happy Halloween. Let's do it.
I am excited for the episode as well. Happy Halloween to everybody out there. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our great friends over at Solomon Brothers Jewelry. Solomon Brothers Jewelers is the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. They have two amazing locations, one in Buckhead, 17th floor Tower Place, and the other in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. They've got the lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. Check them out on Instagram and Twitter at Solomon Brothers, or go to SolomonBrothers.com. If you go to one of their two amazing locations, just mention the Punt and Pass Podcast or mention myself or Jake for 10% off your jewelry purchase. Like I just said, beautiful stores with amazing service. And they have the biggest selection, the best quality, and the lowest prices. Halloween is the official start to the holiday season. Get on over to Solomon Brothers right now. Make your holiday season that much better. Your significant other will love you even more than they already do. At Solomon Brothers on Twitter and Instagram, SolomonBrothers.com. Mention Punt and Pass for 10% off your jewelry purchase. Yeah, dogs win big in Jacksonville. They take out Florida 42-20. We'll touch on that in a bit. It looks like it could be a 1-2 matchup in Athens this weekend with Tennessee visiting between the hedges. Auburn just fired Brian Harsin. Dude, we have so much to get into. But first, I would just like to say, rest in peace, Coach Vince Dooley. Heartbreaking news came out Friday afternoon that Coach Dooley passed away at the age of 90, Jake. His family was around him. He passed away in Athens. What a great man. I know you got to know him very well. So did I. Coach Dooley came to my wedding, obviously very, very close with my dad and my parents as well. Just all around sad. I thought Kirby kind of honored, well, he did honor that Florida victory to Coach Dooley and Miss Barber very well after the Florida game. And I would expect them to have a really great celebration of his life this weekend with an amazing atmosphere in Athens.
Yeah, I think so too. Obviously, super sad to hear the news, just what he meant to the University of Georgia. I mean, just everything. The man, he did it all, was a coach, was an AD. He touched so many people's lives. So, yeah, just in our conversation we have here, just want to honor him. Just pray over the family a little bit and just hope they're healing and in that process right now. But yeah, for the dogs to win, for Coach Smart to honor Coach Dooley in that win, it was a great fashion and very touching.
No doubt. I know his family was around him when he did pass. Think about this, just crazy how timing works. It was Alabama's bye week. And Derek Dooley, his son, former head coach at Tennessee, got to come be with Coach and his family in Athens. You know, you wow. just think about those things, and it's unbelievable because obviously Nick Saban, as Derek is an analyst, probably would have allowed him to go, but yep. sandwiched in between two absolutely massive games for Alabama, the timing, and you know, just rest easy, Coach Dooley. Everybody loves your family and what you yep. did, not only for the University of Georgia, but for college athletics as a whole. And there's absolutely. Been a lot of touching tributes online and through other figures around the University of Georgia. So he will certainly be looking down over Athens this weekend. We'll get to that huge game in just a bit. But topical right now is that Auburn has officially fired Brian Harsin, their head coach, through a season and a half, not even two full seasons as the head coach of Auburn. Alan Green, the former athletic director, had just been let go. They just formally announced their new athletic director, John Cohen, Jake, from Mississippi State, and almost within the same hour, the president of Auburn comes out with a statement that lets Brian Harsin go. So the coaching search is on, and your brother is on the Auburn football team, and he had some interesting insight as well.
Yeah. So this is crazy. I mean, I'm on Twitter right now as we speak, trying to catch up on the news. I texted my brother, my inside source, and he's in class. They haven't told the players really much of anything, which I find just unbelievable. The way it all works, and they have no timetable for a formal team meeting for the head coach to address the players or anything. So I find that just nuts and crazy. Obviously, they haven't had the year they've wanted. It's been, been a little tough. It's been rocky for them, but I don't know. I don't know exactly how I feel about it. On one hand, I think they needed a change. And the other hand, I think, well, I don't know. He just never really got a fair shot and didn't have the quarterback to do it. But to be successful in the SEC comes down so much to recruiting and recruiting players, which is why Georgia's really good. Which is why Alabama's very good.
Yeah,
recruiting players and recruiting, especially quarterbacks as well. It's so important, and you got to get it done.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, Harsin's tenure at Auburn ends with a 9-12 record. The guy coached 21 games. They have already made the change. Of course, the athletic director change probably had a lot to do. Hey, let's go clean slate. I think this brings up a really interesting talking point, and I'm sure you're going to hear the media belabor it time and again. What is the actual culture like at Auburn? Not only from an athletic department standpoint, but from Board of Regents standpoint, the shot callers, the boosters. So much is said about this. And one person who's been really close to this story for a while is Barrett Salee from CBS Sports, an Atlanta guy. I went back, and he went back and forth with Bomani Jones. Now, you know, Bomani Jones, when he's shelling out SEC hot takes, take that for what it's worth. But Bomani came out and said, essentially, Auburn, and I'm going to quote here, Bomani tweets out, "Auburn's boosters make the job bad. And all of this is in quotes, a chance to compete at the highest level is, quote, sun might shine on a dog's ass every once in a decade or so. And it's often contingent on Alabama being down." So what Bomani is saying is that the boosters and the culture around the athletic administration and or the Board of Regents is what makes Auburn toxic, and that they try to chase the chance to beat Bama and make moves hastily in regards to that. Barrett goes back to Bomani and says, "You're wrong." And these statistics, Jake, are really telling because it lets you know what Auburn is as a program. Keep in mind and have the perspective from a nationwide scale. In 2010, Auburn went 14-0 and won a national championship. That year, Alabama went 10-3. In 2013, Auburn went 12-2 and went to the national championship game. Alabama went 11-2. In 2017, Auburn won the SEC West. Alabama, of course, won the national championship that year. Sorry, Jake. But what Barrett is saying here is that that narrative that Auburn is only good when Alabama is down is false. Auburn for the past decade or so has really gone toe-to-toe with Alabama. And I think that's why a lot of people scratch their heads when they let Gus Malzahn go so fast. It's like, wait a minute, this guy was almost 500 against Nick Saban. They made the move to Brian Harsin. Clearly, internally, they saw this is not the right fix. And now you have a coaching search, which puts them in the middle of a bunch of really high-caliber blue-chip programs. Barrett Salee, going back to him, I got to give him the proper shout-outs. He says their first call should be Deion Sanders, Lane Kiffin, Matt Rhule, who just got fired from the Carolina Panthers, and Hugh Freeze, who just signed a big-time extension at Liberty. So your thoughts there. I wanted to give you that statistic. Auburn has been really good, and it's not contingent on Alabama being really bad. Oftentimes, they do very well when Alabama does really well also.
Yeah. Wow. There's a lot there to unravel. Just future coaching candidates. Let's just take that for instance. You got Dion, just a super natural juggernaut. You have no idea what he's going to be, what he's going to do. Could go in and absolutely kill it, or it could be the quickest debacle, two and done, and yeah, see you later. You know, Coach Matt Rhule, that could be good. I think that's a pretty solid fit. I keep going back, my head, it keeps going back to one, they had a great gig there when Gus was there. They saw what Georgia did with Kirby, and they got to the national championship in year two. They were good. They made a change and got better. And I would not be doing myself any justice if I just didn't say, Georgia fans, don't take it for granted the way it turned out.
Because we've said that a number of times, but you are 100% correct.
I'm telling you, because Nebraska, all these teams, and even Oklahoma, for example, they're making changes, and it's not always working out, because it is tough. It is so tough to be good and to be good consistently, recruit and compete in the SEC. It's tough.
Do you think those names, do you think it's going to be a big-time blue-chip name, right? Like, it's not going to be an assistant at a college program who's kind of off the radar. Auburn has to make a splash, right? And you're thinking,
I think
about,
they have to.
Okay.
I think they have to, because they put themselves in this position, and they need a big name to go in and recruit, because right now I think recruiting is their issue, and they're not bringing in the guys needed, and they got to compete. The SEC West is really tough right now. Ole Miss is really tough. I mean, do you see an angle of why Lane would leave Ole Miss to go to Auburn? I think he's got a great gig.
I think it's a pretty lateral move. I agree with you. It's a chance to kind of go directly at Saban's throat, although they're already playing each other every single year because they're both in the SEC West.
Right.
Dion, would Auburn go in that direction? I don't know. I mean, what he's doing at Jackson State is truly unbelievable. It would be such a positive gain for him from like a facility standpoint, a funding standpoint, recruiting standpoint. It'd be unbelievable to give him that chance. Matt Rhule, what he did at Baylor, being able to rebuild that program, you know, again, it all comes back to recruiting. Hugh Freeze, I don't think that's going to happen back in the SEC. What about though? And the poor man, Ryan Skates, he texted me this earlier. He was on the podcast last week. You know, John Cohen coming over from Mississippi State. What if he were to bring Mike Leach with him? Would that make sense?
I don't know.
Yeah. See, I don't know where they're going to go.
I don't know.
It's really early. This is fresh news. It literally just happened. So the writing was on the wall. Please let us know who you think is going to be the next Auburn head coach. Tweet at us at Punt and Pass, at From Jake, at Drew Butler. But we will keep tabs on this one for sure. Again, a lot of other big time job openings are available. Interesting news, though, out of Auburn. Did you play with Brenton Cox?
He just got kicked
off the Florida team. Did you see that?
He did.
Yeah, he just got dismissed from Florida. Billy Napier came out and said, this decision was made from a cumulative effect, which means there have been many things that have happened.
Yeah.
So yeah. any thoughts there with him being announced that he's been dismissed from Florida's football team?
Look, I mean, Peacock, he's a good kid, slightly immature. But honestly, I was surprised that Kirby held on to him as long as he did. Yeah. I mean, it's just bad. It's not good for the team who is out there busting their tail, running sprints. And you get a guy who, one, showed up late, two, is holding everybody back every single time.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, look, if you're not committed, you don't want to do this. You don't have to be here.
100%.
See you later. You're holding everybody back. And then what you do is, you have other guys, you're just messing up the whole mental stability of the team, and it's not worth it.
Well, supposedly, or you know, now proven, Billy Napier thinks the same thing. So seems like his reputation kind of precedes himself. He once a five-star recruit at the University of Georgia transferred down to Florida, and after Georgia dismantled the Florida Gators 42-20 in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, Brenton Cox has been kicked out
But you watch. There'll be an NFL team that'll bring him in for a workout.
Of course.
And think they have all the solutions to the answers and think they can turn this guy around because he's an unbelievable talent now. He's very, very talented. Yeah. He can go. Like when you just tell him, hey, go play football, he can go do it. Now he's got to play in the system and do this and do that. He don't want to do it. But you just tell him, hey, go rush the quarterback, he can do that now.
Mike Tomlin, when I was at the Pittsburgh Steelers, I remember sitting down with him. We were on an away trip. It was like a pregame dinner on a Saturday night, and him and I were just chatting. And essentially what he was saying is that the NFL is the greatest meritocracy in America, meaning it does not matter where you come from. It does not matter what you believe in. It does not matter what religion you practice or what you represent. If you can sack the quarterback, you will have a job. It is as simple as that. If you can catch touchdown passes, you will have a job. Now, there, of course, is a demarcation line. Antonio Brown probably coming top of mind. but think about how many chances he got. Think about how many chances a guy like Josh Gordon has had. Josh Gordon has been kicked out of the drug policy 100 times, and they're still trying to get him back in the league. If Brenton Cox can just keep his mouth shut, and he could be the biggest asshole to everybody in that facility, he will have a job if he can get after the quarterback. So we'll keep watching that one, but Brenton Cox no longer on the Florida football team. All right. Speaking of Florida, Jake, let's talk quickly about the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Now, from my standpoint, it stung because I picked the game at a 22.5 point spread. Georgia, of course, wins by 22 points. So that is a loser for DB. I'm now 17-28 on the season. It's amazing how good the Sharps are. But Georgia's third quarter, turning the ball over. They were in a demanding, commanding lead, 28-3. Yeah. A scary, scary score for anybody in the state of Georgia. Turn the ball over, Jake. Florida comes back in earnest. They make it a game. And then Georgia really facing that adversity, puts it away. It was good to see them respond in that way.
Yeah. I tell you, I would have loved to have been in that locker room, been a fly on the wall in the locker room, and hear what Napier had to say to his guys coming out of halftime. Because whatever he said, man, they came out fighting. They got Anthony Richardson involved a lot more in the run game. And so I don't know if they gave him a shot or whatever, but it looked like he was a little banged up and didn't quite want to hit anybody early in the game. And then all of a sudden he comes out and says, hey, I'm going to take it to you. I'm going to put my body on the line. So I don't know what happened, but they came out. They scored some points. Obviously, Georgia turned the ball over there a lot at that time. And so – but I think for the most part, if you watched it, you saw easily we dominated, but it didn't show it on the scoreboard quite as much as you would have liked it to. And you say this, and we won 42-20 against a really big rival in a tough football game. And a lot of these games, it doesn't matter what your record is, how good you've been doing, man. Rivalry games just they hit different, and anybody can beat anybody. And so anytime you can win big like that against an opponent like that, that's good. On to the next one. Let's go.
Totally agree with you. Georgia turns the ball over twice in the third quarter. Florida scores 17 points in the third quarter. Talk about, because so much was discussed, and you and I talked about it a good bit as well last week, just the environment in Jacksonville. Georgia's up 28-3 at half. Half that stadium is rocking. Half that stadium is quiet. Florida scores 17 points in the third quarter to get him back in the game. Woo-hoo. Red and black side's quiet. Orange and blue side is extremely fired up. Those momentum swings with that type of energy in the stadium, that's what you don't get at a home and home, right? Mm-hmm. Because if Florida does score 17 points in Sanford Stadium, that little corner underneath the American flag is loud with the band, but 98% of the stadium is quiet. Those are the things that you really feel tangibly as a player in those moments. Yep. You're like, wow. And the fans have a big difference in those types of spots.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen, family photos on a restaurant wall, a legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Yeah, I definitely those games. And, you know, when you're playing at the Mercedes-Benz and say an SEC championship or national championship, it just feels like the the roller coaster wave of the game, the flow, the back and forth. There's just more of it. It's more mentally exhausting in games like that, which is why I think Jacksonville's pretty fun. But then also, I would love to go down and whoop up on the Gators down there in Gainesville too, in front of their crowd. So I'm on the fence of all of this. I think a home and then that kind of neutral site game would be an interesting take on it.
No question. Georgia's defense commanding, really, really physical, only allowing 20 points, again, two touchdowns off of the turnovers, or I think it might have been a field goal and a touchdown off of the turnovers. And then Georgia's run game late in the game puts the ball game away. Branson
which is really good to see. I love seeing that finishing run game at the end of games, imposing your will on them, breaking these guys down. That just shows the physicality and the toughness. I know Kirby says it all the time, the physicality and the toughness of a team and the identity of a team. Say, hey, you know what we're going to do, and you can't stop us, and there's nothing you can do about it, which is always good to see. And you know, later in the year, you'll end up being more successful if you have that kind of identity to yourself. And I can't also help but mention Brock's catch.
He had. Unbelievable. Catch of the year, maybe.
Yeah, I just – To be moving that fast in that direction and have the hand-eye coordination and the ball skills but then also the balance to do a 360 as you're moving that fast and find the football. And then it's not like he caught it like and figured out, hey, oh, wait, where am I? He caught it all in one motion and took off. Like he
unbelievable.
I mean, what it is. For the folks back home, that is such an insane play, and just a testament to his ball skills.
So there's I'm holding up a picture right now. If you're watching us on YouTube, this still picture, it says Brock Bowers somehow managed to catch this and run in for a touchdown. His head is completely forward. The ball is above and behind his head. And like Jake is saying, the ability to locate that football, do a 360 turn while moving so fast, bobbling and securing and then running down 50 yards. Unbelievable. Like that does not happen. The guy's a freak. There's no question about it.
And then you can see from the cool camera angle they had, I think Carson was there. I know Brock was there. I think Gunner was there too, but like the quarterbacks were sitting.
They were freaking out.
You could see the reaction through it. It's awesome. Like, oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
One last thing on this game. And, you know, I heard my dad talking about this in the call-in show with Jeff Dantzler after the game. And I thought it was a great point by my dad, Kevin Butler. In the third quarter, when the momentum was switching so viciously and Florida was freaking flying around, Georgia kept turning the ball over. Georgia's defense was still on the field. I'm like, yeah, Georgia's defense is pretty good, but having them on the field for 12 minutes out of the third quarter is probably not the best idea. Yeah. My dad said, hey, when they're kicking off to you after these scores, after these turnovers, and it's not in the end zone, fair catch the ball, because that kickoff return team in Florida was screaming downfield. Kieris was trying to make a play, and hell, they were getting tackled inside the 15-yard line. You can fair catch the ball in college football right now, and it goes directly to the 25-yard line. From an offensive standpoint, for you, Jake, as the quarterback, doesn't that make you feel a hell of a lot better than starting on the 12-yard line? Doesn't that allow you guys, from a play-calling perspective, to know exactly what you have to get down the field, rather than being around the 10 and going, oh shit, here we go. We got to go to these plays on first and second down rather than these plays because we're at the 25-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, as a play caller, you tighten up just a little bit. You worry about the play calling just a little bit. Once you get inside the 10, it's different now. It's different of what you're calling. You're worrying about this. Then you take a sack, and then you're a little closer to the fans in the stands. It's a little bit louder. Just a slightly different philosophy too, especially when you get inside the 10. But I don't mind taking it to 25 every time. Obviously, you love the big one. When you can break a big one, scoring a touchdown is a bonus. But when you get it around the 40 or something like that, that's great. A short field's awesome. But there's nothing wrong, I don't think, taking it to 25, especially with the efficiency that Georgia's offense is running with at the moment.
Yeah, and you take away the opportunity for Florida to gain even more momentum. I think that's the biggest thing, right? Yeah. A big hit. Guys screaming downfield. Fire up the crowd. Kieris gets knocked. Just don't do that. Just take a fair catch. Ball 25. Let's go play some football. Let's go play some football. Yeah. All right, Tennessee smacks K Kentucky, 44-6. Hendon Hooker, now the odds-on favorite in the Heisman Trophy race. We will get to that in just 1 second. It leads me into talking about the Solomon Brothers Big Watch of the Week for Week 10. And Jake, no surprise here, my friend. Number one, Georgia hosting number two, Tennessee, inside Sanford Stadium. College game day in Athens, 3:30 SEC on CBS. The defending national champions against the most explosive offense in all of college football. This will be a doozy. There is no doubt about it. It's kind of like, what is it? Immovable object with something forced. They're both going to hit each other. I just messed that up. But that's what's happening. Georgia, Tennessee this weekend. The rest of the slate, not exactly that great. You do have Alabama taking on LSU. That's number 6 versus number 15. It's in Baton Rouge. That game's at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Okay. Clemson takes on Notre Dame in South Bend. That game's at 7:30 p.m. on NBC. And I'll give the ACC a little bit of love. They had a tough weekend last weekend. Number 20, Wake Forest at number 21, NC State. But who cares about any of those other games? It's all about the dogs versus the Vols. Can Georgia's defense limit this Tennessee offense? Hendon Hooker, Stetson Bennett, so much star power, dude. Athens is going to be on fire. And since we last spoke, Jake, when you told me I had this game all on the schedule, I got my tickets. People have been tweeting and writing, and somebody knocked on my door the other day and said, what is Jake Fromm doing with his Tennessee tickets? Because I want them. That's what everybody wants to know.
Oh man. Well, I had to, I got them from a friend, and so I had to resend those tickets, back. So I no longer have those tickets, but
okay. Okay. So get off my ass, people. Yeah, Jake doesn't have the tickets.
Sorry. I don't have them anymore. But I mean, what an incredible atmosphere this is going to be. I know Kirby's already come out and said, hey, we need the fans to be rocking, to be yelling, make this the most hostile environment you possibly can. Because even when I played Notre Dame back in 2019, that the environment played a huge deal in that game. I think there were multiple pre-snap penalties for Notre Dame's offense. Communicating, it is tough. Sanford can get loud, it can get rocking, and it's going to need to this Saturday to slow down the Vols offense, because they do a great job. I watched a little bit of that Kentucky game. And they're just imposing their will on people. And I think it'll be obviously it's going to be the matchup Tennessee's offense versus our defense, but I really like the matchup of Georgia's offense versus Tennessee's defense.
Yes.
Because teams have put points up against them.
Oh yeah.
Obviously Kentucky did not. But Alabama put up a ton of points. Florida put up a ton of points. I mean, I think if Anthony Richardson could throw for 500 yards, against Tennessee, I feel pretty confident in our boy Stett to go out and have a good game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Those two matchups are going to be just fascinating. There's so much going to be talked about this game. Like I said, College Game Day will be there. I would expect an amazing tribute to Coach Dooley with the Dogs being back home this weekend. And you just mentioned it. Kirby has already challenged Bulldog Nation. Get inside the stadium. Lose your voice. If you don't lose your voice, you're not cheering hard enough. And Jeff Dantzler, a close friend of mine, I think Jeff Dantzler loves the Georgia Bulldogs more than anybody I know, texted me this morning. He texted me personally. Hey man, would you please do me a favor? Tell everyone, don't be idiots and sell your tickets to Tennessee fans. You'll never be welcome into the stadium again. We need you to say it. Please say it. I go, you know what? I will. So I'm saying it on the podcast, Jeff. If you're selling your tickets to a Tennessee fan, shame on you as a Georgia fan. This is number one versus number two between the hedges in Athens. It's the highest rated game ever in the history of Georgia. Georgia has only ever won a top five matchup, Jake, in Athens one time before, 1942. Charlie Trippi was the player of the game. Georgia was ranked 5. Georgia Tech was ranked 2. The Dogs won the football game. Jeff told me Charlie Trippi had an 87-yard touchdown run. The other top five matchup in Athens was in 1983 against the then undefeated Auburn Tigers. Auburn beat Georgia 13-7 that day. This is your chance. This is your chance. Now, let me just give you a little bit of perspective of where I'll be. I won't be in Athens. I won't be in Athens. Why? My wife is very pregnant. You know what else happened in a big time game, Jake, where everybody was going. It was going to be an amazing atmosphere, but I couldn't go because my wife was pregnant. The 2017 Rose Bowl. So that's good. I couldn't go to that game.
That's a good sign.
It's a big win. It's a big win. We'll hold on to that.
We love those big wins. And I don't think this game will be a 13-7 game.
No.
Like it was in 83. I think this one's going to be like a 30-40. This one's going to be a high-scoring shootout down to the wire. And, gosh, I hate I'm missing it. And if you're a dog fan, do not sell your tickets to Tennessee, folks, because, one, don't want to give up the advantage, and, two, you do not want to miss this atmosphere.
It's going to be super, super live. I'm so fired up. Georgia right now, an 8.5-point favorite. The total, 66 points. That's a lot for a Georgia game.
Yeah.
So Georgia, more than a touchdown favorite. That line has been moving down. People are taking those points with Tennessee. We'll see where it settles in. It's settling in right now. 8-9 points.
That's a pretty big line, a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
A favorite, a 1-2. Obviously, I know you're playing at home and it's not a neutral site game, but I feel like that's a pretty big line on that.
It is a big line. You know, but you look at, hey, Tennessee needed overtime against Pitt. That was week two. I get it. They were on the road. Florida hung up a lot of points on them. That was a late fourth quarter game. Totally get it. Rivalry game. We all know how those go. Alabama, unbelievable atmosphere. Alabama scores 49 points. They have 17 penalties. They miss field goals. Look, if Georgia turns the ball over three times like they did against Florida, they'll lose by two touchdowns. I'll just say that right now. They'll lose by two touchdowns if they lose the turnover battle 3-0. Whoever wins the turnover battle, this is not some brilliant football analyst here. Win the turnover battle, probably going to win the game. Time of possession is not important to Tennessee. They score like that. All they care about is time of production. They have the ball. They're probably going to score. Jake, tell me this. I'm talking way too much. Yes or no, in the first half of the game, Tennessee will score a touchdown with a long pass, somebody running wide ass open downfield. I would say yes. Hypo schemes up defenses. That's probably going to happen, so just get ready for it.
That, and then also, too, in the scheme that Georgia plays defensively, I mean, honestly, we put our DBs in really bad situations in those one-on-one battles because we say, hey, our front seven is so good, we're going to get after you, and we recruit really well. And so we believe that, hey, we're going to get to you before your guy beats our guy. I mean, take Keeley, for example. I mean, Keeley's given up 2 or 3 long balls this year, but he's been on them the whole – I mean, he arguably, to me, as someone watching it, he couldn't have guarded it any better. But it shows you schematically on defense how we can leave our guys basically on an island and say, hey, go cover. That's what you do. You know, obviously college football, it's not what you get paid to do yet, but hey, we pay you to go cover those guys, go cover.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you kind of saw that with Malachi Starks. Now, granted, he's a safety, but jumped that route Saturday in the third quarter, and he was supposed to have, was that cover two he was in there?
I don't remember exactly what.
Yeah, he jumped down on that route, almost got his fingertips on it, but the wide receiver got behind him, and that was a big chunk play touchdown.
Now, I got a question for you. Scenario. Now, say Georgia wins by 2-3 touchdowns.
Okay.
Then what? What's the feel in college football?
Tennessee will become the biggest Georgia fans in the world, because if Georgia then were to beat whoever represents the SEC West in the SEC championship, I think Tennessee has a great argument to get into the college football playoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Tennessee's playing with house money. I think regardless of the outcome on Saturday, they will be very well positioned. Their resume is amazing. I tweeted it out Saturday. Somebody please sell me how you could put Ohio State in front of either Tennessee or Georgia. I think Tennessee and Georgia are number one and number two in no particular order. I don't really care because they're going to play each other this weekend. Yeah. But Ohio State's resume, come on, man. Come on. Tennessee has been far more impressive. Georgia defending national champions. Their defense is rock solid. These are the two best teams in the nation. They're happening to play in Athens on Saturday. 3:30 SEC on CBS. Jake, it's going to be awesome. There is no question
about it. And I think Tennessee's playing their best ball right now. And I think Georgia's playing really good ball. I don't know if they're playing their best ball because of the tournaments, but they're playing really good ball right now. So it's going to be awesome, obviously super fun to watch.
Last thing I'll say is Kentucky sucks. They got blasted. Will Levis looked awful. You know, I'm not going to buy into the media hype. I think it's kind of unfair to Will Levis. People are calling him like the number one overall draft pick next year. They looked pedestrian from a play calling perspective. I will give a ton of credit to Tennessee. They shut down their rushing attack. Will Levis threw a couple of picks. It was ugly for Kentucky. It is officially basketball season in Lexington earlier than I thought it would be. I thought that would happen after Georgia takes care of business up in Lexington, but a bad, bad showing for the Wildcats in Tennessee, man. They shut a lot of people up 44-6. That was impressive. That's why they'll be ranked number two in the college football playoff rankings tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't think anyone really expected that 44-6.
Woo.
Well, I did. He didn't even throw for 100 yards. He's at 98 yards.
I picked him over in my Prize Picks DB's freebie because I thought that was the only chance they were going to have to stay in that game. Throw the football a little bit. Test Tennessee's vulnerable secondary. I guess Mark Stoops and company had other plans, and look how that worked out for you.
Man, that was just – it was brutal, brutal to watch.
The brutal offense, to watch.
Couldn't get anything going. And then you know what's sad when they're – In the not late in the fourth quarter, but in the middle of the fourth quarter, they're running the football trying to get out of there.
Yeah, I know.
That's bad.
I know.
That's like, bad. When you got eight, nine minutes left in the fourth quarter and you're running the football, that's bad. And you're losing like that, that's bad. You're just trying to get out alive.
I will say that atmosphere in Neyland with the black helmets, the black jerseys, the black checkerboard in the stands, the lights, the fireworks, it's live. And if Georgia were playing in Neyland this weekend, it would be a little bit of a different tune heading into this matchup. Great, timely home game for the Bulldogs. Speaking of looking great, I'm talking, you got to go to Solomon Brothers Jewelers, Jake. You have to head to Solomon Brothers Jewelers if you want to get something that looks absolutely fantastic for your significant other. The holiday season has officially begun. It, of course, starts with Halloween. That is today. So if you need to get engaged, if you need an anniversary gift, if you need an amazing holiday gift for the person that you love the most in your life, head on over to Solomon Brothers Jewelers. They have two amazing locations for you. One in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other, of course, in Buckhead, 17th floor, Tower Place, the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast, family owned and operated for over 35 years. It gets better. If you mention Punt and Pass or myself or Jake, you get 10% off your jewelry purchase. Check them out on social media at Solomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter, solomonbrothers.com. The biggest selection, the best quality, the lowest prices, and an in-store experience that is totally unmatched. That, of course, is Solomon Brothers. Jake, the Commanders are 2-0 with you on the roster. Who do you guys have this week?
We play the Vikings.
At home?
Kirk Cousins coming
back. The Kirk Cousins Bowl.
Yep, he's coming back, so it'll be fun to watch.
All right, well, you got your off day tomorrow. How's the wifey? Is everybody good?
Everybody's good.
What are you doing? Okay, cool.
Wife's coming up Thursday evening.
Awesome.
So that'll be fun. Yeah, so, man, just hanging out here trying to find a place to live.
Yeah.
trying to get out of the hotel. Man, that hotel life is not fun, let me tell you. But
it's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have. Love being here, trying to help out where I can.
Awesome, brother. Anything on the way out? We'll wrap this thing up for you.
No, man. Y'all have fun tonight. Have a little fun doing a little Halloween stuff. That's right.
Trick-or-treating. Yes, sir.
A little trick-or-treat. Yes, may even eat me a little Reese's cup tonight in honor of Halloween.
Just one. Be careful. Just one. Can't go two. Just one.
That's it.
Awesome. Follow him on social media at FromJake. I'm at Drew Butler. We are at Punt and Pass, puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. And we will talk to you on Thursday, getting ready for a huge, huge matchup in week 10. See ya.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.